All right, it looks like recording is started.
All right, we'll go ahead and get going then. Good morning. I'm John Ashlock, Chair of the Home Inspector Advisory Licensing Board. It is now 10 a.m. on Thursday, March 14th, and I am calling this meeting to order. This meeting is open to the public. We'll take time at the end of the meeting for a brief comment period. Participants will have no more than 3 minutes to address the board. As a reminder, board members are not to engage in conversation during the comments. As a courtesy, I ask all participants to keep themselves on mute to reduce background noise. When a board member would like to comment on a topic, please use the raise hand feature on Teams. And once I have called on you, unmute yourself and state your name before sharing your comments. Please remember to mute yourself again after you finish speaking. Thank you. Senator Schaefer will now call roll call confirming board member attendance. Once she has called your name, please respond stating here or present.
Thank you, and I will start with you, Chair Ashlock.
Here.
Thank you. Vice Chair Howard?
Here, present. Thank you.
No, just dump it.
Board Member McFeely?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Thompson?
I am here.
Thank you. And Board Member Tryon?
Present.
Perfect. Thank you. Back to you, Chair Ashlock.
Excellent. This moment, I'd like to do approval of the March 14th agenda. Do I have hear a motion for approving the minutes?
I motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Jordan Howard,
I second.
All those approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. All right. Approval of the minutes from December 14th, 2023. Do I have a motion to approve? Did everybody have a chance to read those over and take a look at them? Assuming you did. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I motion to approve.
We have a second.
I second.
Any discussion? And a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Excellent. Moving on to five. Sandy.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. We have a brief announcement. We have gotten a new team added to our boards, commissions, and outreach unit. The education team has joined us. The education team consists of Tim Allen and Georgia Smith, and they are the experts in all of the real estate curriculum. So we're excited to have them and welcome them to our team. Back to you.
That's going to be an excellent addition and really take a lot of political or layers out of the middle. So that's going to be a nice thing. All right, moving on to old business. We have none, so we're moving beyond old business. Now to new business. Sandra, off to you for that, please.
Yeah, that's me. So we have every year we go and my gosh, I cannot say words today. Every year, the board elects a new chair and vice chair. Keep in mind that board members can nominate themselves or they can nominate other board members. There are no term limits. So if we want to nominate the same chair or vice chair, or if you want to shake it up a little bit, either way works. The 2024 term begins at the end of this meeting, so we don't change in the middle of the meeting, and it will go through the end of the first meeting next year. If we have new members, we staff, Sandy and I, provide training so that you're not, you feel confident on your first meeting. And if you are reelected, we also can offer just a refresher course if that's something that you would want. So I will send it back to you, John. We would need two separate motions and votes for each individual position.
All right, Jordan, you have your hand raised up.
Yes, I just wanted to nominate John Ashlock as chair primary presidents for the next year. I feel over the last year I've done a good job and would like to see some of the projects that have been started in the middle finish off with his term. So that would be my nomination for chair.
I would second that board member tryout.
Thank you both. Any other nominations? I'd nominate myself too.
I'd also like to nominate Jordan Howard as the vice chair as well for this next session.
I would second that.
Yep, I was just going to say that too. Okay, we'll put this to a vote in a second here. So we're going to separate them out so we have chair first, and then we'll move on to vice chair to make it official.
Yeah. For the purposes of the minutes, a nomination and then discussion, and then followed up by a motion to appoint.
All right, so any other nominations for chair? Do I hear a motion to be able to elect me for the chair for the next previous year?
I so motion.
Second?
I second that.
Excellent, thank you. Any discussion? Besides, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Anybody abstaining? All right. Looks like it's passed for me to take on another year for my final year on the board, which I appreciate. Yay. That, you guys. All right, moving on to vice chair. So we already had one nomination for Jordan to be vice chair, and I don't know if we had a second, but I'd like to second that one too. Jordan done a great job, and we're working great together to be able to kick this in, and so I want to see you continue on that one. Do we have any other nominations for vice chair? Okay. A motion to be able to select Jordan Howard as vice chair for the next calendar year.
I motion.
Second.
I second.
Okay. All those in favor? Oh, any discussion? No? All right. All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? All right. Any abstentions? All right. Motion passes, and Jordan will be the vice chair for the next year. Looking forward to working with you again.
Thank you, board.
All right. That covers it for this, for vice chair and that. So now moving into to Sandy for in-person meeting.
Thank you, Chair Ashlock. So what we are doing is we are offering the opportunity for each of our boards and commissions to have an in-person meeting during the summer quarter. We are currently planning the in-person option to be July 27th, 2024. And we are currently looking at venues and different types of options that would allow for the board members and members of the public to both attend. We will continue to have a virtual option for this meeting, and we would like to ask the board to vote on whether or not they plan to attend an in-person meeting. By voting yes, the expectation is that you are planning to attend in person July 27th, and this meeting will be in Olympia. By voting no, the expectation is you will be attending virtually. So we'd like to turn it over to you, Chair Ashlock, to conduct a vote on whether or not board members will plan to attend in person July 27th in Olympia. I have a question. Board Member McFeely.
Yes, you're saying July 27th is that July or June 27th?
Oh, excuse me. It's June. June 27th. I had a typo on that. I apologize. So it is June 27th in Olympia.
All right. I'm going to open the floor to discussion. Does anybody have any comments, concerns about having meetings for the board being in person again, starting this up and continuing on, which I think is very important, the option for people to be able to dial in remotely to be able to watch this?
Just for clarification, because of the virtual world that COVID-19 created, we are now legislatively required to have a virtual option from here going forward. So we will continue to have a virtual option no matter what. So what this vote is whether or not you would like to have that in person.
Okay. Out of curiosity, do you think that's going to impact venues? Is it sticking us to most likely having to do governmental buildings versus hotels like we did in the distant past?
Correct. We will need to make sure that we have the capability and the technology available to maintain that virtual option so that the members of the public can just log in and attend from wherever they're at.
And they would be able to make comments virtually as well?
Correct.
Yeah, it would be basically the exact same setup for this meeting, except we have the option to be in person. And the goal is to have the board members on site.
Correct.
Yeah. On that note, for the next meeting, for the June 27th, I won't be able to attend. So Vice Chair Howard would actually be holding into my place, putting him in the fire right away from being reelected. But I'd like to, if discussion is done, I'd like to go ahead and put a motion in to, for us to participate. So again, in this, you motion to approve it if you are going to be able to attend the meeting in person for June 27th. So
I would make a motion to attend or to approve the in-person meeting. Absolutely. I find it, yeah, valuable.
Anybody else like to second that?
I would second that.
Okay. Okay, take a vote for all those in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. And any abstentions? All right. Motion passes. So it looks like we are approved to come back in-house as board members to be physically on site and continuing on the remote for people to be able to dial in customers and other inspectors, which is wonderful. And then, of course, I'm not going to be at the next meeting, unfortunately.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We will continue in getting a venue secured, and we will send out the attendance details once we have them for the June 27th meeting. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. This one, the next topic, the inspection in progress inspections. I just wanted to put this on the topic because it hit me directly on my insurance. It's not a common form of inspection, but phase inspections. Houses being built, people want to take a look and have a person being a buyer representative for like looking at the framing, looking at the wiring, looking at the plumbing as they may be remote and they potentially don't. They want to advocate for their builder coming in. Anyways, I was engaged, I think in 15 years, I've been asked two or three times to do this. I bounced it off my insurance company, and my insurance actually does not support that type. And I wanted to bring this up because if people are out there doing it, you definitely want to double check with your insurance company that you are covered for errors and omissions and other, because if you aren't, and you're assuming you were, and something happened, you may not be covered by insurance, which could, of course, decimate you and your business. So really not much of a conversation on this unless people would like to. It's more of just an FYI that if you happen to do this style of inspection, you might double check with your insurance company to make sure that you are covered. Any comments?
I would just confirm it's been, again, over 15 years since 2008, probably a handful, but it is worth exploring as new construction becomes one of the front runners in affordable housing and housing in most areas, just to make sure to cover your base and make sure you're covered to do that type of work. Thank you for the info.
Thank you. All right. We're going to go ahead and move into the next section for Sandra for listserv.
Yeah, so this is something that in the conversations that we've had with subcommittee members, you kind of realized not everybody, even on the board, knew about the listserv per se. And so as staff, we thought it would be very prudent to share this with public as well as the board. Listserv is a distribution list that the Department of Licensing sends information out on. It's usually board-related information, but it can be other information that's relating to the home inspector industry in general, such as rules, rule changes and updates to statute. Any outreach efforts, a lot of the outreach efforts that are done by the board, specifically subcommittee work. It's not a lot of emails that get sent out. It's typically about one or two a month. Some months there's none, but it's usually not a whole lot more than that. But it is valuable information, and we just wanted to make sure that that is shared publicly, that folks know it exists. There is a way to manually sign yourself up for it. And I have here a screen print of the website. The website is down at the bottom. If you do not have time to write all that down, please email DOLBoards at dol.wa.gov to request that we send you a link to sign up. But you can manage your subscription at the listserv page itself. So if you are no longer in the home inspector industry, you can unsubscribe. Or if you're new to the industry or you're not part of the industry, but you want to know these things anyway, anybody can sign up to receive those emails. Did you have any questions? Yeah, Board Member Thompson.
Yes. So do you know if there's been any issues with the Gmail accounts? I tried to sign up with my Gmail account and it did not work for me, but I had a Hotmail account that did work.
Yeah. So you're not the first person who's had that. It's hit or miss. Some folks have a Gmail account and it works and some don't. I don't have a why, but the listserv doesn't play nicely with Gmail always. So it is a good idea to sign up with a different domain.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, do you have like a dash or any other special characters in your Gmail address?
I don't. It's just my name and Gmail. So
okay, I can see a special character goofing it up, but
It's pretty basic.
I've actually, this is anecdotal, but I've had issues with Gmail with a different distribution list as well. I don't know if it's something about Gmail. Securities setup. I'm not sure that that's an IT person would be able to probably answer that a little bit more easily than myself, but it's not just the listserv that I've had difficulties with sending out like bulk messages to.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely want to drive this into people. All of our meetings, we tend to talk about the listserv. This is, again, the way that all of the communications go out throughout the state for home inspectors, and all the changes that we're putting in, all the work we're doing, all the notifications come through this way. The state really has their hands tied on how we could get people to join besides having them go up and do it themselves. So we need to really rely on you, the home inspectors, to drive it out and get people to join in. More people involved with this board, with this process, will help our industry than just having a few on board. So if you have this link, I believe we're going to have it at on any other documentation, forward it out and get more people to join in. And like I said, if it's something that ends up annoying you, been wrong comment, you could easily unsubscribe too. We want this industry to grow. We want our processes to grow. We want everything to succeed, and this is kind of the method we have to do it. So anyways, thank you.
And to add to that, there's a number of stakeholdering, so sending out asks for filling surveys related to the subcommittee work. And so if you want to participate in subcommittee work as a member of the public, just providing your opinion on a lot of these topics, that's done through the distribution list as well, through the listserv. So it's a good way to have hands-on impact in the industry.
Thank you. Any other comments on it? Otherwise, we can move on, which actually will blend perfectly into our next topic, which is our subcommittee reports. So moving on to that, Boardman Tryon, I'm going to kick you into the Changing Business Practices Subcommittee, which I believe you have a survey potentially a little bit to talk about, too.
Well, the survey was the last board meeting. That's one, right. Was more just the update to the WAC. So in our subcommittee, we were kind of picking up where we left off, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and we've had some turnover in our support staff, and thankfully we have two excellent support staff working with us on that. And some of the things we were trying to kind of recover, if you will, were the changes to the WAC code for standards of practice and also definitions more specifically within that, and clarifying a lot of different items, and some of them to include defining cosmetic, you know, being a little more specific with that. Also including the word multimedia as a means of stating an observation within an inspection report. Defining experienced instructor, i.e. what does that actually look like? And some of the kind of definitions we kind of boiled down to were a minimum of 400 paid inspections and or 4 years of licensure. That was kind of the general consensus within that subcommittee meeting, and as well as some of the feedback we got from the listserv that we sent out from the public and or other inspectors. Some of the other items to clarify were like what a pre-inspection agreement is or should be, and then things that you would identify or that would require referral to a specialist, i.e. wood destroying organisms, you know, electrical, plumbing, certain items that would require a licensed contractor to perform any kind of work. Would we want to change the verbiage to require a referral to that specific type of contractor? Also, just some other little caveats to that definition was just being more clarifying on, you know, record keeping, contract requirements, exclusions, limitations, and then the scope of the inspection, i.e., you know, interior, exterior, attached garages, detached garages, so on and so forth. So those are all the items in discussion in the subcommittee. We've had a chance to kind of go through the WAC line item by line item and make any changes or additions. And there wasn't anything terribly substantial. Like I said, just kind of reiterate, it was mainly just defining things more specifically. And so that's all I have for the Changing Big Business Practice Subcommittee.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Moving on, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Boardman Rafili.
Yes, so we put out a survey last year, and we did not really get the response amount. So this listserv thing is definitely something we want to focus on. But we are creating a new survey that just went live, I believe, like a day or two ago. Targeting the schools to try to determine more of what we can do and how we can target minorities and underrepresented demographics. So we're looking at that. The survey is live and it's going out to the schools and their administrators for the state and those national companies that do education in our state. We're hoping to get some good results out of that so that we can try to figure out some action items to target, you know, the underrepresented people in the state that may be able to help our industry. So that's where we are. Hopefully we will have some findings and some results at the next meeting. I think that's about it.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on to the Education Subcommittee. Board Member Thompson.
Hi,
All right, so we've also got a survey out looking into some questions as far as to kind of come back mostly from recent students. I know most of us, our schooling was so long ago, we probably don't remember much of the courses and stuff we went through. But we've got the survey that went out just to find out what areas do we need to make changes to the rubric. Are we spending enough time working on HVAC systems or electrical systems? Some of the things that I hear most commonly when I'm out in the field teaching. I just saw that some of the information that had come back in, things even just in business development, there were some requests for that. So we're going to be working through that and seeing what we can make changes wise. And that's where we're at with that right now.
That's one I'm definitely very excited to be able to tweak it accordingly. And that feedback that we got from the survey, I just want to see that grow. Because, I mean, again, we're a little bit out of the picture for what happens in the training. I mean, it's been over 15 years for me. So everything changes. I mean, back when I did it, drones weren't even an option. So I'm glad we're doing what we're doing.
That's all. I would just like to add. To add something to that as a part of this subcommittee is we're really relegated to changing the rubric itself, and so, you know, we can change ever so slightly. In order to make any kind of big sweeping changes to this, we would need a legislative action to change the WAC or the RCW. So within the rubric we have very minimal area for change. You know, the hours required for you know, education purposes won't change. The topics for required for education won't change, but we might be able to shift a little bit of the time on each section to other areas that may need more you know, in-depth discussion and education on new inspectors coming into the business.
Yep. Yeah, it's a total hours. We could tweak what's inside, but not the total number.
Right. Yeah, which is funny because I didn't see some of the responses were need more time. So obviously yep. That takes much more effort to get that done through the legislature. So.
Any other comments? All right, Sandy, I'm going to turn it over to you for the next couple sections.
Excellent. So we're moving on to our complaint case counts. As of March 1st, 2024, we've had 5 closed cases. 13 are currently in investigation for a grand total of 18. Next slide, please. One of the information points that we have been asked to gather is to provide what the complaint topics are. And this is used for educational purposes, for purposes of awareness. The top complaint is the inspector did not conduct the inspection of required areas. Now, upon investigation and looking at all of the factors in that, the top findings are failure to inspect and report on all requirements per the WAC, failure to have both the client and the inspector sign the inspection agreement, and failure to provide the report to DOL during an investigation. So this is the type of reporting that we're going to be able to add from here on out. Are there any questions about complaint cases?
I have one question.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
My question just would be, is there a way to determine or record how many of these are multiple for the same inspector? Are any of these repeat offenders?
Great question, Board Member McFeely. And this is just general information. We don't have it drilled down to who the person is. And that's not something that we would want to report out in a public place anyway.
I wasn't asking for specifics on who it was. I was just wondering if that would give an idea, like if 6 of these or 12 of these 18 are, you know, the same person or same 2 or 3 people, it can kind of skew the results in a way.
Oh, I understand that. Okay, that makes more sense. But this is just the aggregate information that we have coming in. It's not drilled down to that level. This is just the top findings of those closed cases.
My question then, Sandy, would be, what does any of this public information, I mean, not specific to a maybe inspector, but the investigative notes, if any disciplinary actions have been made, what they were, you know, is that something that we could discuss maybe in a subcommittee meeting?
So this is just general information that we're providing for educational purposes, for awareness of the home inspector industry. This is just the basic what the trends are looking like. So that is just for your awareness, for the awareness of the industry. And if moving forward, if you think that might apply to you, then you might want to go ahead and think about your processes and how to realign those processes. And if it doesn't apply, then, you know, you're doing a great job. But moving forward, we're just going to be able to provide the high level information about what the current trends are looking like right now. Board Member Howard.
So I guess a question would be, is there any way that the public, if they were hiring out, would be able to receive an indicator that this particular inspector that they're considering is under investigation? Is that something available through license disclosure on either SAW or DOL? Or does it wait until disciplinary action takes place before it brandishes the license?
That's a good question. And I'm going to see if Mr. Nathan Buck is available to answer that question.
Is Nathan on? This is Kathy.
Sorry, I had my mic down. Oh. good morning, everyone. My name is Nathan Buck. I'm the investigation supervisor for real estate programs to include home inspectors. So again, can you just repeat your question?
So my question was on inspectors that are under either current.
I can just change it if you want. Maybe I'm typing it in wrong.
Complaints or current. If there's a way for the public to become aware of particular inspectors that might be under investigation, if that's updated on either the SAW or DOL site professional licenses, or if it's required to wait until disciplinary action or some type of results come out for that information to trickle to the public, as far as kind of consumer protection goes.
So just make sure that I understand, you're looking for if there's information of individuals who are currently under investigation. Is that correct?
Correct. Or if a complaint has been filed against a particular license number, if a consumer would be able to become informed before making their choice of who to hire.
So during the course of an investigation, there is not notification out to the public because we are still trying to determine if there is a violation that occurred or not. For anything afterwards, after it go to RCUF, we could discuss with Sandy to have some more information collected to answer your question a little bit better.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. Any other questions?
Yeah, if I could just kind of ask for a clarification on the top complaint about the inspector not inspecting the acquired areas and then the actual findings. Was that basically maybe the inspector didn't report why he didn't inspect an area, per se, like an electrical panel was not accessible due to seller's possession or something along those lines, just kind of a misunderstanding between the complaint and the inspector?
That's a good question, and I will also defer that to Mr. Nathan Buck.
So as far as that question goes, that is more of a it depends type thing. The complaints that are normally seen are a multitude of different potential violations that we would look into. That would include topics such as the inspector didn't mention how they traversed an area, or they didn't inspect something that may or may not been required per the WAC. So that's what we would go and look at as far as what the required areas are and if the inspector is required to do so per the WAC.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Okay, let's go ahead and move on to our licensee counts. All right, so for our licensing counts by age and status, as of January 30th of this year, we have a total of 1,187 active licensees and 21 in the expired status. Next slide, please. And here we have all 1,187 licensees divided out by counties. Next slide, please. And here we have the 2023 numbers at a glance. And this is the renewal count over the year. That's in green. And the new count over the year, the new licensee count over the year. And with that, are there any questions? Okay, great. Let's go ahead and move on to our last report out. Oh, I'm sorry. We have one last one. And this is the licensee count by year. So starting in 2018, we've been able to track how many home inspector licensees we have per year. And this is all including both active and expired counts, all counties in Washington. All right, now moving on to the housing market report. So each quarter, the Washington Center for Real Estate Research produces a housing report. If you'll recall, we had the administrator of the Washington Center for Real Estate Research come and talk about this report at one of our meetings last year. This is a report that they produce every quarter, and we have included it in this packet for information only. Moving forward, we will be able to include this report in every packet moving forward. Any questions on that?
Thank you for including that. I think it's good, valuable information for us. And whatever impacts on the housing definitely impacts us. So we're correlated together.
Exactly. And if anyone would like copies of any of the meeting materials, please email us at dolboards@dol.wa.gov. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the next slide. So another thing that we have been asked to produce is an overall average of the pass-fail rates for 2023. And this is something that we will also be producing every year at the first board meeting for the year prior. And as you can see, we have both the home inspector combination exam C results, the national results, and then here we have the state examination results. So this is something that the education committee has asked for, and this is something that they can also utilize within the work that they do. Any questions about pass and fail rates? Okay, great. Thank you so much. And I'm going to turn it over to Sandra to review our master action item list.
Sandra, I think you're on mute.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and...
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, there we go. Yes, Sandra.
Yeah. I apologize. My microphone likes to disconnect itself, so I was not on mute, but you couldn't hear me. So we had a few other items that have been covered in this agenda. So these are the last two items that are still ongoing on the list. The recruitment to fill two vacancies. week, we will be doing conversations with the candidates who we have received so far. So hopefully by next meeting, we will have one or two more individuals on the board. Crossing our fingers that we have two wonderful candidates and we can round out the whole board. And then this is the second item, staff to invite guest speakers will stay on the action item list as it's an ongoing thing. This was requested by both of our chairs just to bring in industry professionals to each agenda. And we do our best to do that. Back to you, Chair Ashlock.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on, public comments. I will now open the floor for the public to address the board and share their thoughts, concerns, and requests. Written comments may be submitted by 2 days prior to the meetings by emailing dolboards@dol.wa.gov. Staff, has anybody been submitted any questions in writing? Looks like not.
No, we don't have any written comments.
All right. Members of the public, I believe we have, do we still have two on right now or just one?
We had three.
Three. All right, I didn't gather. Excellent. All right. Member of the public, while you're addressing the board, please remember each member of the public is limited to 1 3-minute comment. Comments are submitted in writing can be counted towards your 3 minutes, which there weren't any. Comments must be on matters talking about our board's jurisdiction, and board members are limited to directing staff to study the matter further or requesting the matter scheduled for later discussion. At this point in time, the floor is open. Does anybody from the public have any questions, comments, or concerns? Scroll on down. I do not see any hands at this point in time. Give it another few seconds. Should put people on the spot, just call them out to make them do it to see what happens. But man, I guess beyond our stuff anyways. All right. On that note, I'm going to go ahead and conclude up. Conclusion, any announcements? This is basically for board members to provide any information, updates, and news impacting the industry. Information only. No discussion or action will be taken. Any announcements any of the board members may have? I don't see any hands. I see head shaking on that one. All right, moving on. Sandra, I'm going to kick it over to you for future agenda items.
So I didn't actually hear any future agenda items other than the normal ongoing things. Did I miss any? And I didn't hear any action items other than the ones stated during report outs. Oh, board member Tryon?
Yeah, I think the only action item or maybe future agenda items was to have Mr. Buck get back to us with maybe some more specifics on some of the
numbers for complaints.
Yeah, the complaint numbers. Maybe we can get a little more granular, but we could throw that on a future agenda item if we would, please.
Excellent. Anything else?
All right, noted.
All right. At that note, we are at the end of our meeting. It is 10:43. It is now 10:43 a.m. on March 14th, 2024, and this meeting is adjourned. Our next meeting will be held in person with the virtual attendance option available on June 22nd, 2024 at 10 a.m. Thank you all. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great week.
Thank you.